For decades, we've been told to slather on the sunscreen before going outside to prevent skin cancer. But in recent years, conversation and research has moved to why the preference should be for the healthier versions of sunscreen, the mineral-based, non-chemical varieties. And it's not just for the people involved. Researcher Craig Downs is in Honolulu to talk about his self-funded research to show how the chemicals in sunscreen are killing coral reefs. He is the executive director of Hereticus Environmental Laboratory, a nonprofit scientific organization, and he's with us today in our studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann. I appreciate being here.
Now, last fall, around October or so, when some of this research of yours began to percolate through the news and looking at why we shouldn't be using the chemical sunscreens that for years we've been told to use to prevent ourselves, but without any real discussion about what this means for the reefs, this began to start some greater conversations, and I imagine some real controversy within the scientific community for you.
Not really within the scientific community. Most of the scientists that we've come across have are standing solidly behind the science. It's kind of obvious that some of these chemicals are really bad.
You were talking about things like oxybenzone and parasols and parabens.
Exactly. Oxybenzone is what we focused on first because it's a known endocrine disruptor in mammals and other vertebrates and fish. It causes male fish to become females. And we discovered that this oxybenzone kills juvenile corals, the baby state of these corals, and that it might be contributing to a phenomenon that we're seeing all over the world, especially in tourism-heavy areas called coral reef zombies. And this is where we're finding that corals, sea urchins, fish are sterile. And so we might see these corals present, the adults there, but there's no recruitment of any of the juveniles. And so that reef is not going to last. It's an evolutionary dead end.
So would Hanauma Bay be in that category?
We were just there on Sunday, and yes, in the swimming area, there's no corals. You see some fish, but there's no corals. There's no sea urchins. And just look at the mineral sheen, the oil sheen that's in the water. That's from sunscreen. Hanalua Bay, Hihi, Nature Reserve Area, are all contaminated, which means they're threatened by these personal care products.
We've talked somewhat about what it means for the ocean in terms of small plastics, and that conversation took a little while to migrate. But you've been here to open up that conversation with more people than just those who are at the symposium this week. As you're now looking at some of the peer reviews that will be coming out in the very near future, how is this being able to move the conversation into a wider sphere?
A number of industry representatives were at the symposium. We're having conversations, open conversations with industry. We don't want them to go bankrupt. We want them to be profitable. And we think there's a win-win solution with industry in them formulating better, safer ingredients in their products.
I mean, certainly for those of us who go out shopping for some of those better, safer products, they come with a higher price point.
They do, but I think many people would believe that the environment's worth it. Many tourism operators, hotel resorts, dive operators, snorkel boat operators, those coral reefs are their natural resource attraction. People come to Hawaii for the reefs and for the beautiful weather and for the people. But if you lose the reefs, where do they go? So it threatens, the loss of coral reefs threatens our economy.
We've also had that conversation as we were looking at disease within the ocean, Montipora, and then looking at acidification. All those things were, granted, would make the same argument that you just did, that if they go away, so does your tourism. And yet getting that happening to where more people are engaged in the act of conservation has also been difficult. When you tell this information to, for example, DLNR and also to the state's tourism authority, What's been their response to you?
We had a conversation with some members of DLNR, and the conversation yesterday, and it was really positive. We told DLNR that when we were sampling for to measure sunscreen contaminants on many of the islands, we would show them the data before we went public with it to allow a conversation to happen, because we're not trying to be antagonistic. We don't want the conflict. We all want to work together to conserve our resources. And I believe DLNR was very receptive to it, and they're exploring options that takes the sensitivities of other stakeholders into account of how best to manage this personal care product pollution.
Any conversation with tourism folks?
Not yet. We've just been so busy, and we do have on the docket to meet with some of the owners of many of the larger resort chains. We would like to engage them more proactively, because we think resorts can jump on the bandwagon to inform their clients, their guests, to use safer sunscreens rather than the sunscreens that contain some of these more adverse chemicals like oxybenzone and methoxycinnamate.
Meanwhile, anyone who wants to do that can simply make a different choice. And as you say, the few dollars that you may have to spend to get something that's a little healthier and safer might well be worth it for both your own personal safety and certainly for that of the reef. Is there any way of helping these reefs come back, even if they're in this zombie state, or any research that you're planning to do that might show us that there are some rays of hope?
I'm glad you asked that, because Maui, the northwest coast of Maui, has always been a historical favorite of mine. We're looking at the Kapalua Bay region. We're looking at Napili, Haleiwa Bay. And we are trying to work with the resorts at Napili Bay to encourage them to come out with social campaigns to reduce sunscreen use, not just using gentler sunscreens, but also to cover up. Clothing apparel has come a long way for swimming and being at the beach than what we're used to of rash guards when we're surfing. There's a number of companies out there where you can take the clothing easy on, easy off, whether they're wet or dry, and they look good enough to go from the beach right into the restaurant at, like, let's say Mama's Fish House, and no one knows. The clothing looks great. So there are a number of options that everyday folk, the consumer, can choose to do to reduce this personal care product pollution. The other big issue is that some of these chemicals, when you put them on your skin, for example, oxybenzone, you put a product with oxybenzone on your skin, we can detect it in your urine 20 to 30 minutes later, which means it's going into the sewage. And most wastewater treatment plants can't remove those chemicals from the sewage. And that eventually leads to the ocean. So whether you're swimming, you're contaminating the environment, or whether you're using the restroom, it's eventually going to go back onto the coral reefs.
And if you're swimming in all of that, you may be exposed too.
Yes, and absorb those chemicals, which you really don't want to do.
I wish we had more time to talk. We'll be looking at the follow-up to your research with a lot of interest.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Greg Downs is the executive director of Hereticus Environmental Laboratory. It's a nonprofit scientific organization dedicated to increasing the scientific, social, and economic knowledge of natural environmental habitats in order to better conserve and restore threatened environmental habitats and resources. He's in town for the 13th International Coral Reef Symposium. We'll have a link to his research on our Facebook page, Hawaii Conversation.